Welcome to the Lemons and Pineapples podcast. I'm your host, Emma O'Brien, personal development coach, heart math practitioner, dog photographer, and entrepreneur. In this podcast, I share tools, strategies, and amazing guest interviews to help you improve your mindset and your well-being with a sprinkle of fun and probably some mention of dogs along the way. So without further ado, let's squeeze the day. Hi folks, welcome to episode 59 of the podcast, How to Lose a Customer in 5 Easy Ways. I'm recording this podcast 9 days before my wedding, so if you are hearing it, it means the wedding happened. But I wanted to share what has been going on in the run-up to this, which has been very frustrating for me, but also a very useful learning exercise. If you've been listening to me for a while, or if you've coached with me, you'll know I love a reframe and I love to have a look at what the opportunity is when something doesn't really go according to plan. To give you a little bit of background here, before I've even experienced the on-the-day service from a couple of my big suppliers at the wedding, I've already been spectacularly disappointed. And I'm going to share with you why that is and what has happened and how, if you are running especially a service-based business, you can avoid these pitfalls. I have been running service-based businesses for 2 decades. I've got a photography business and I've got a coaching business. And in reality, it is really, really easy to keep customers happy. Stupidly easy. In fact, it is also really, really easy to upset them. And it's quite possible that it's really easy to upset customers without even realizing you've done it. That is what I'm going to go into in this episode today. I will preface this once again with the awareness that it is 9 days away from my wedding. This is the second run I'm having at the biggest day of my life. I'm in full bridezilla mode and I have high expectations of the service providers I've hired. I have quite high expectations of service delivery from people I work with. I'm quite discerning about how I spend my money. I'm not getting married at McDonald's, so I'm expecting a certain level of service delivery. And as yet, I haven't seen it. So I'm going to share with you 5 ways you can lose a customer. And I'm also going to share that this experience has made me reflect on my own businesses because I do not get this right 100% of the time. I don't think any business does, unfortunately. And it has had me reflect on where I can improve on my own businesses. And I invite you as you're listening to have a think about where you could make tweaks for yours too. So without further ado, here is how to lose customers really easily. Number one, ignore them, especially when they've paid you in full. And I am not one who suggests that you should be sitting by your computer or your phone immediately responding to customers. For most people who are solopreneurs or small business owners, it's simply not feasible to be able to do that. But you know what? 24 hours, 48 hours for replying to an email is not an unrealistic expectation. One of the suppliers I have dealt with, it took multiple emails with over a week response time to still not get what I asked for. And I promise you, I was being very polite. I like to give people the benefit of the doubt. I know suppliers are busy, it's wedding season, blah, blah, blah. But ignoring people generally makes them quite irritated. I found a great quote from Nietzsche that I wanted to share with you. And he says, a sure way to provoke people and to put evil thoughts into their heads is to make them wait a long time. Now, mission accomplished with that. It is very frustrating to be ignored, especially when you have paid for something. It says, great, I've taken your money. Thanks very much. You don't really matter. Number two, get your clients' names wrong. There's nothing that says you're important to me, like misspelling your client's name multiple times, or, as this one of the suppliers so brilliantly did, sending a document with entirely different names on it, and then when I asked politely for it to be corrected, it being sent back with the same different and incorrect names on there. Stuff like that is really easy, folks. If you're not sure of a spelling, just check it. And if you make a mistake, correct it. Really not hard. What that says to me is, sloppy, don't really care. Number three, overpromise and underdeliver. Rather aim for the opposite, it's much better. If you have a timeline, add a couple of days and give the estimate with the extra buffer time to your client. Then you can wow them when you have things ready or done earlier. I have had timelines that have been promised and just not been delivered on at all. I've had to repeatedly follow up with people. I've had to micromanage a lot of what's going on, and really I'm paying other people to do that for me. So it has been incredibly frustrating. The easiest thing to do if you can't hit a timeline for whatever reason is to be honest with your customer and tell them. Most people don't mind if there's an explanation or I know I said it'd be this date. There's been a little bit of a delay. It'll be this date. My apologies. It's as simple as that. Nobody actually minds. What infuriates people is being ignored and not being kept in the loop. Number four, overcharge your customers. And then when it's queried and you are in fact wrong and it's a small amount, keep having a fight about it. And then if you'd like to put the icing on the cake, try and send them another invoice for something else that hasn't been discussed. This is what happened. And I actually went back to the supplier and said, I'm fed up of feeling like a cash cow. Because that's what I ended up feeling like. And it's very unpleasant, and it's really coloured my relationship with this particular supplier. Could have been completely avoided. Number five, drive your customer over the edge of the nuclear rage cliff. Make them so angry by ignoring them and not doing what you say you are going to do that they literally have to go nuclear to get what they want. So one of our suppliers was accidentally overpaid, and it took a month to get that money paid back. And the only reason the money got paid back was because I went mad about it. I'd asked repeatedly four times, very politely, for a follow-up. And I just, as going back to the previous points, been ignored, been told it would happen on a certain date, and it didn't. No explanation, no apology, nothing. And within an hour of me really losing my shit, the money got refunded. And I don't actually think it should have taken a conniption to get something done. So as you can see, it has been a sort of series of unfortunate events that have combined to have me even more in bridezilla mode than I would ordinarily be, to be quite honest. And all of these situations and all of the frustration could have been avoided by clear communication. Really, simple as that. These are all tiny little things that have built on top of each other to make me really quite cross. And much like it's never about the lid being left off the toothpaste when that is cited as a reason for people getting divorced, like I've said, it's generally a combination of small things gathering pace that causes a customer to be really unhappy rather than one big thing. The complaint is never the complaint. And I think that is the thing to bear in mind here. And I'm going to unpack that a little bit more. When somebody is unhappy, and whether this is, you can then take what I'm going to share now into personal relationships, work relationships, client relationships. The complaint from somebody is generally about a need not being met. It's not really about the fact that the name wasn't correct on a sheet of paper. I mean, who cares, really? It's not really about the fact that it took a month for the money to be refunded because it wasn't a train smash. I want to feel like my big day is as important to the suppliers I have hired and chosen and entrusted to deliver the service as it is to me. And with everything that's happened, I don't. That is what the fundamental problem is here. And that is what I am so disgruntled and a little bit sad about, to be quite honest with this, is that it feels to me like my wedding, which I can assure you, this might be the second wedding, there won't be any more. People don't get married often. People might get married once or twice. I know some people get married a bit more. And going through this experience, I can't understand why you would get married five times and knowingly put yourself through this experience. It's something that's special for people. And what is being missed here is the fact that I don't feel like this is special at all. I feel like just another punter who is coming through, using the venue, using the suppliers, just another idiot that's getting married. And that is where the real complaint is. When you understand that, it's really easy to keep people happy. I can share a few examples where I've had great customer service. One of them is in L'Occitane, in two shops. So a shop here in South Africa and a shop in the UK. Whoever is doing L'Occitane's customer service training is doing a very, very good job. Their staff are brilliant. They are knowledgeable. They will talk to you. They spend time to wrap things. If they've got extras, you know, there's an offer at the till, you spend a certain amount, you get something else. They'll always do their best to make sure you get the something else. I went in with a friend and she bought some things and she'd literally just mentioned in conversation she was buying something as a gift. And the cashier said, "Oh, can I gift wrap that for you?" And it got beautifully wrapped in a beautiful box. There was no extra charge for it. And it was just the attention to detail and what to me felt like kindness and generosity and really going the extra mile. We both walked out of that shop and just said, "Good Lord, I'm going to talk to everybody about this." It was so brilliant. It was such a nice experience. And it was so simple. And this is a thing to remember. A great example I can give you is from my experience of working as a photographer. And I will preface this again, I'm prefacing lots of things today. I do not claim to be the greatest photographer ever at all. I'm not. There are photographers out there who are far more technically and artistically skilled than I am. Loads more. It isn't about the finished product all the time. It is about how people feel in the creation of whatever you are making for them. And I think this is so applicable to service-based businesses. I have had conversations with clients who have used other photographers for different things. You know, I'm specifically a dog photographer, so I've had chatted to clients who've bought dogs to me, but they've done shoots with other photographers for other things. And what I've heard a couple of times is the photos are lovely, but the photographer was really rude to one of us on the day. The photographer was short-tempered. The photographer was impatient with the children in the shoot. And what we see when we look at the pictures is the pictures that then bring back the memory of not a great experience during the photo shoot. That is what people remember. I think it's Maya Angelou who quoted that people won't remember what you've done, but they'll remember the way you made them feel. That is the key to offering great customer service for people. If you genuinely care about your clients and you genuinely look after them, and if you stuff up, because we're all human and we do stuff up, you communicate honestly about it and you do your best to deal with it, you won't have a problem. The problem comes with all of the things that I have listed: being ignored, service not really being delivered, pushing back when it's unnecessary, not reading the room, overcharging people, and only really giving people what they want when they've massively lost their temper, which was just so unnecessary. Like I say, it has spoiled the way I'm going to be going into the wedding looking at these suppliers. before I've even used them. And it could have been prevented. So I'm going to wrap up there. I think the big learning here is offering genuine care for your clients, putting yourself in your client's shoes. Because like I said at the beginning, I will always reflect on stuff that is not going right and have a look at what's the learning in here. There are learnings in here for me. I have done a few of these things over the course of a 20-year career of running a business. And I intend to make sure I never do them again because they're just so easy to get right. And they're also easy to miss. So I would love to hear your great customer service experiences. And if there's any wedding stories, great ones and also not so great ones, I'd also love to hear them because I'm in that wedding mode at the moment. So I'd be curious to hear where suppliers have got it really right for you and where suppliers have got it really wrong and what the real problem was about what they got wrong. Pop me a message on Instagram and let me know. It's at Emma O'Brien Coach. You can pop me a voice note. You can pop me a text message. I would just out of curiosity, I would really, really love to know. And of course, I will give an update on how the wedding went. I'll probably post a couple of pictures on Instagram once they are out and edited, you know. And thank you for listening, folks. I hope this has been a valuable episode. I will see you next time. Bye for now. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you've enjoyed it, please share with your friends and be sure to leave me a 5-star rating and review, especially if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. To find out more about my one-on-one coaching, please visit my website, which is emmaobriencoach.com. And remember, folks, when life gives you lemons, you can always choose another fruit. See you next time.